guys. We appreciate it. So last week at intercession, I almost want to say Pastor Anton asked me, "So everything okay, brother? I haven't seen you for a while." And then I said to him, "No, I know it's the 2nd of August I preach here, and then after that it was Walvis Bay, and then Windhoek, and then Rundu, and then Walvis Bay again, then off weekend, and so I'm back." So that's where we are sometimes. And Pastor Yaku also not at home, sleeping today. He's preaching in Walvis Bay. So it's awesome to build the kingdom and to be a team and to work together. So just a little bit on that. And I wanna share on something today, something that that's on my heart, and something that we as leaders of the church also feel that God is speaking to us about. And that is discipleship. So maybe you think this morning, "Oh, I've read a few books on discipleship. I've been to training and all those things." And maybe it's something not so new or that. But I really want to encourage you. I want to share a few things. And, you know, there's quite a lot of similarities between raising children and making disciples. You agree? Amen? So on that note, I also just want to remind you, on the 24th of September, that Thursday, we're going to start with a seven-week evergreen parenting that we're going to have here at church. So you are most welcome. Let me know. Ask the office clearance if you want to have some more information, but please register. It was really a blessing to me the first time I did the course. It's not a set of rules to become a better parent. It's actually ministering to the parent to be in a better position to impart to children. So when I stand back and I look at Shofar Christian Church and what God is doing, you know, I really want to honor the leaders that's in a previous generation, you know, who imparted to us. Tell me, and once again I'm going to say, Annelore, you're not allowed to answer, but as Shofar Swakopmund, what is our mission statement? What are we here? Are we a mine? Are we a police station? Are we a hospital, municipality? What do we say? What is our mission statement? Any hands? Any hands? We want to disciple, yes. 1 out of 3. You're still failing the test. Through leadership development and church planting. That is what we say to ourselves. So discipleship isn't one of the ministries we have in church. That is what we do. Bible school, missions, encounter one, encounter two, all these things are little building blocks of, let's say, developing a disciple, imparting to someone. And, you know, that's very similar to what we do at home, raising our children. And I really trust, and if I know that in the past years, that's why I said I want to honor people like Pastor Fred and Lucille and Pastor Sias, you know, for making good disciples. And that is why we were in a position to plant churches. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't happen. We can't reach the nations. It doesn't help a lot if you first want to plant the church and say, "Okay, we're going to now select a pastor and equip him, and hopefully along the line things are going to work out." That's like giving your car keys to a seven-year-old and say, "Well, you go figure out how this thing works." Now you first take someone and you take that person through the steps, learn them about all the ins and the outs of a car and how these things work. So becoming more like Jesus and helping others to do the same. That is discipleship. Becoming more like Jesus and helping others to do the same. So remember what I'm saying now. Maybe you think discipleship and the curtain goes down a little bit, but this is something we sense that God wants to strengthen in our church. It's something that we must grow in even more in terms of our culture and what we do. I'm going to try and translate it in freely, but Hetty Brits, the author of the Evergreen Parenting that we're going to do, she said, you know, in terms of raising children, you know, that is, you know, parenting is the privilege to walk with my children's hands in mine, and then walking together after Jesus, you know. And that's that wonderful opportunity where we have, those of you who have children that still younger than 15 or 10, you know, where we can take their hands in ours and together with them walk after Jesus. And that's also what we do in church. You know, a disciple isn't something that just happens, okay? If you think if you just go to Bible school and you go to small group, that is part of the process. But that is not, it's not just going to happen by itself. Okay? It's something that you have to be intentional, something where you really have to make an effort. And in Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus said, follow me. You know, and then the disciples, or the men at that stage, they leave their nets and they walked after Jesus. So firstly, you know, guys, we're not born Christians. We need to become born again Christians. You know, there's a place where we need to come to Jesus and then we need to follow him. So that the first part is that where we say we come to Jesus. We become more like Jesus. And then right at the end of the book, in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the very well-known part, you know, where Jesus says, go and make the disciples, you know. So the first part is coming to Jesus, and then you get equipped, and then it's the part where you go, and we go and make disciples. So this morning I want to pose the question and ask, you know, where do you stand in terms of the going or the following Jesus and the going? Are you maybe a bit stuck somewhere? That do you need a bit of Q20 or something? Maybe a bit of rust on the engine or something, you know? We need to question ourselves. We need to ask ourselves. We also see in 1 John chapter 2, 12 to 14, you know, John is writing and he talks about children, the little children and the young men, and then the fathers. And the fathers are something in our generation, many times, that is very, it's sowed sparingly. There's a lot of younger people really looking for fathers. And the fathers aren't just, not, I'm talking spiritually now, on just every second person. So if you're a child or a young person, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we also need to ask ourselves, how do I grow to becoming, if I'm a child or in the category of little children, how do I become a young man or a father? What do I need to do? What is my action plan? Do I maybe need to go on missions? Do I maybe to start for starters to join a small group or maybe go to Bible school to equip myself, anything like that? I'm going to ask you to have a bit of grace. I'm going to drink quite a lot of water today. I do have a little bit of fever here in my flesh. But in the spirit, I'm excited to share. So allow me that, please. And we need to ask always, because I don't believe Jesus, as the head of the church, called churches to be stagnant, just standing there, parked forever on the same place. In certain seasons, God wants to talk to us about our finances, sometimes about discipleship, sometimes about the word or whatever the case might be. And we need to discern. And I believe if there's another 100 people joining our church in the next 6 months, we as a church need to be equipped and ready to disciple those people. Because you can't have two or three people at the top just discipling everyone. Okay? That's one of the things you can't Google and download these days. It's like marriage, you know. You need to spend time together. You need to get to know each other. You need to spend time together, you know. So we just, at this stage also, we feel that discipleship is something God is just highlighting to us right now. Something we just need to refresh on and to say, God, we're excited about the new generation. So I'm just going to, if you've done Bible School 1, you will be familiar with this. I'm just going to share a few quick things. Maybe you know it off by heart. You can say it from the front to the back or vice versa in your sleep. But I'm just going to, especially for the younger people, just 10 things I'm going to quickly present or lay out that we can, and as I said, the pitfall in my, one of the pitfalls in growing in Christ is sometimes a little bit of pride. We believe that being there, done that, got a t-shirt, and then we move on and we neglect some of the basic stuff. So I'm just going to share a few quick things with you in terms of laying a foundation and disciplines of discipleship. And then you can evaluate in your own heart, where do I stand regarding that? So the first one will be prayer, you know, talking to God, spending time with God. And you know, many times and every time, you know, we will ask this question. And if I ask you how many people, how many of you pray more than 30 minutes a day, probably less than 10% of the church will raise their hands because we are busy and we work. And it's not about condemnation, but you know, how do we expect to spend time with God if we don't pray, if we don't have a disciplined prayer life? So remember, the place I'm talking from is if you're making a disciple, if you're raising a child, you need to show that, as Paul writes, you need to imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, to learn that young person, we need to pray. Number two, fasting, you know. And that's, it doesn't count if you've been fasting from green beans the last 35 years like I do. That's just nonsense, okay? That's just something stupid, okay? But it's sometimes we say social media, TV, certain movies, the way I spend my time, I need to fast from that for a while. I need to maybe close that account because it's stealing my time. I'm sitting more on Google than I'm, you know, spending time with the Lord. I don't know. You will know where you stand. But that's something we need to teach our young. Worship, what we just did, you know, worshiping the God of the heavens and the earth, you know, just looking at His majesty and giving Him glory and thanks for the God that He is. I'm just going to run through this. Then I believe one of the most important ones, Bible intake, reading the Word, understanding Scripture, understanding doctrine, understanding context, to have a heart and to, you know, to, you can't grow if you don't eat the Word. It's impossible. That's one of the things. Jesus is the Word. Then relationship with God, you know, meditating on Scripture, memorizing Scripture. Sometimes you look at someone preaching and you think like, wow, they're quoting Scripture, but it takes a bit of effort. You need to learn that. You need to spend time and to be equipped, you know. Fellowship, the time we spend as Christians with each other, small group, in a social context, you know. You need to take someone with you and to spend time with that person. Giving, something that we spoke quite a lot on in the past few months. Our relationship with money, how does it work? Because as when you're a young Christian, you know, we don't just know these things. Okay, so for some of you guys, I'm talking about the familiar. But for some of us, it might be there was a word in the previous church service, you know, that we always need to be awake. We always need to be ready and to discern what God is, what God wants to do. And to be kind of alert, you know. Then serving. Maybe, you know, we've got that ministry with Judah the Lion there at the back for the children's church. Or whatever the case might be, helping at a men's camp, helping at a ladies' conference, giving your time and your effort, counting that cost and you know, walking away from some things that's maybe dear to you in a certain season to serve in the church. To witness, you know, our relationship, and this is where many of us battle. If you don't see the person discipling you, witnessing to other unbelievers, how are you going to know how to do it? You know, I'm now at that stage with my children, you know, I can either tie their shoelaces every morning or I can teach them how to do it. So it's important to equip each other and to pass it on to a new generation. And then learning, you know, understanding about doctrine, the person, you know, many times you might be youngly married and you've got a few challenges or so. Go to those people that's been married 30, 40 years. Ask them, how did you make it? How did you come this far? What's the answer? I'm married 9 years. Okay? So ask them, go to the people who have made it in life and ask them, share your wisdom. Share about how do you have a family and a job and sport and all these things together and still giving your best for God. So, one of the questions that we spoke about in the small groups, and I believe it's so accurate, is can the disciples you make and the children you're raising, can they do what you do? Can they? You know, they won't just like know how to tie a shoelace. You need to show them. I need to show my boys, how do I treat my wife? Then they will know how one day how to treat their wives. Bill Bright said, until you have made a disciple, you are not the disciple. Okay? So you need to go that full circle in terms of also not just being discipled, but also making disciples. You know, then you can say, I am a disciple. I'm discipling. I'm not just on the receiving place. I'm also at the giving place. I just have to take a sip of water, please. So here's a question. Something I once heard in the parenting talk, for those of us who still have younger children, the sons that you are raising, or the daughters, but let's use the sons you are raising right now will be the fathers of your grandchildren. The sons you are raising right now, they will be the fathers of your grandchildren. Now, when I look at my own father and I see the way he relates to my children, I can see that third generation, you know, the Kleinkinders, or the, what's it called, the grandchildren, they are really dear and special to a grandfather or grandmother. Very much so. Now you see, so we've got an opportunity to impart to our children what they need to impart in their own children. And if you see your grandchildren having certain values, certain things in their lives or marriages or customs or stuff, you know, then you can see sometimes it came from the father or the grandfather. My grandfather died the year before I was born. And many times on the farm, when my father and his brothers and sister sat around that big table, you know, they talked about their father. And I could just listen to the conversations and I could see my grandfather must have been a special man, the way my father and his brothers honored him. And I could see, I never remember whether it's nephews or cousins, it's on my father's side, but how that blessing went from my grandfather to my father and his brothers to, you know, me and my cousins / nephews. Help me write. Cousins, you know better. In my language, there's just nephews. So, you know what I mean. So, we need to teach our children, teach our children, our sons and daughters, at a young age, how to choose a husband and wife. Not the Hollywood way, but the godly way. You need to tell them when they are young, because there's a rule of thumb that we use in parenting today, and we can say 8 is too late. You need to talk to your children before that stage. Otherwise, society will. And then they might get some bad information, incorrect information, skewed information that you don't want your children to have as the first part of sharing, you know? So we need to teach our children, what do you look at in terms of character? It's not just about looks, you know, when you choose a husband or a wife. We need to teach our children, our sons, for instance, that they are going to be the leaders of their homes. They are going to be the rulers in that sense. They are going to be the leaders. And what does it mean? As a father, you need to show them at home, what does it mean to be the king, the priest, and the prophet, and the judge? You need to show them about being fair, being godly, about interceding for your family. You know, you need to show that. We need to show that to our children, that they grow up in that environment. Now, you can say our children / disciples. Okay, remember, there's a lot of similarities about making a disciple and raising a child. There's a lot of things that's very much the same. So maybe you don't know what the person, it might be your child or it might be someone in church in your small group. You might not know what that person's calling might be. You might be spending time with a young person that's, say, 17 years old, and that person might become a mayor of a town, the head boy of a school, a president, or something like that. And we've got the opportunity to impart into a generation that later on, they will become the movers and the shakers. They will become the people who's making a difference. I want to share a beautiful testimony with you. Many of you might also be on a WhatsApp group somewhere. Who's on a WhatsApp group? Some of you, a few of you guys. A lot of us are on a WhatsApp group these days, whether it's the church or the elders or this team or what family. And we as pastors also are privileged to have a WhatsApp group. And many of you will know Pastor C.S. LaRue. He's always there at the men's camp, evangelist, having also a heart for making disciples. And you can go to that photograph of that three boys in the best school in South Africa. Me and my one friend, we can talk about it afterwards, why I say so. But the testimony I want to share from Pastor Sias, and he posted it, and I want to read to you. The Lord told me to start a small group at the beginning of the year in Polruis. Now, this was about 2 or 3 weeks ago he posted it. I started with 3 guys. One became the captain of the first rugby team. One became a leader of the JAM Christian Committee. And one has become the new head boy for 2016. I want to urge you to invest in the youth. Now, isn't that accurate? Isn't that powerful of a pastor, of a leader, of a father in the faith, and thinking, oh, you know, schoolboys, that's just silly. I'll probably waste my time. But he heard it from God, and he did it. And now there's a rugby captain of a first team that can be influential. There's a leader of a committee, and there's also the new head boy. So he imparted to those boys, and I believe he's, because I know Pastor Sias, certain values and stuff, he will be very straight with them, and he will make great disciples of them. And they all stand in places of influence, you know, where they can influence other boys. And that's the beauty of discipleship, you know. So we need to hear from God, where do I need to spend my time? This 20-year-old that just came to our small group, that person, when he or she is 35 years old, might be an influential person in society, something God called that person to do. And we've got the opportunity to impart, to mold it like clay. So that's just something a little bit on the hard side. Now, a second thing I just want to emphasize and hold before us, and that is that we're not all the same. Now, that might not sound like rocket science, but whether it's our children, whether it's the people in your zone or your small group or the church, we aren't all the same. Sometimes, for some of us, it takes us a while to discover who we really are. And there's a difference between what we want to be sometimes and what we really are. We all want to be sometimes great leaders or this or that, but maybe you're created to be a follower or intercessor or something else, okay? And, you know, it blessed me so much, especially in the last 7 years in ministry, to learn a little bit more about who God created me to be. You know, certain things I always battled with and didn't quite understand. You know, you want to be like this, but you it's just not you. You know, two different screwdrivers or a hammer, we don't all do the same job. And, you know, in terms of the fivefold ministry or the gifts of the Father, you know, it says that I'm a teacher. So I'm supposed to teach, I guess. And one of the characteristics, my wife was here in the first church service, is I love to-do lists. Anyone else in church that loves to-do lists? There's one, two, three, a few people that's maybe honest. I love to-do lists. And I was just working through this sermon, trusting God, you know, what to share on. And you can show that photo. Oh, it's already there. And I just collected all the small papers on my desk. And I thought, shoo, yeah, it's quite bad. It's quite extreme, you know, because on a Friday, I want to read the Namibian. I want to understand the letters that the people write. I want to analyze. I want to understand what the people feel like. What are the concerns? What's the stuff happening in the hearts of Namibian people? And listening to Valerie, you know, about the Congo, that's so inspiring. And it must build us up so much up, and that we should treasure and continue working on what God is doing in our nation, that we can be a light to those around us. But back to just who I am, you know, I can see my young one boy, Gustav, he's exactly the same. Since he was small, when we left home, he wanted to know where we're going, how long will it be, when we will be back, and his mom hated because she's not like that. I usually live the same, you know. I'm a slow decision maker in many ways, and I never understand it, but I always want to have the facts. I want to know, I need some information. Otherwise, it's difficult for me to make a decision. So I'm not preaching about myself. I'm just maybe helping us to understand and have grace about how God made us different. And if you're in a marriage and you differ quite a lot, it's a blessing. It makes the team stronger. If you're exactly the same, you miss out on the sense of certain of the gifts that God has for us. So, because I believe Scripture says that we are God's workmanship and that we created in Christ Jesus for good works. So I want to encourage you, get to know yourself. Not who people always said you are or who you, in a sense, want to be, because some things are realistic. I also wanted to run the 100 meters at school in less than 10 seconds, but that's just not the way I'm wired. Okay, sometimes we need to make peace with certain things like that. It's time for some water before I fall over. So, and then maybe just sharing a little bit, and it comes back to the facts again. I recently read an article in one of the South African newspapers that is really breaking my pastoral heart, that is really challenging and tough, but it's something where we need to do a reality check. And it's the General of Statistics in South Africa, and it was this year, a week ago, in the newspaper, and it says that of all the 886,000 births that were registered in South Africa, that 61% of those children, that their father's details don't even appear on the birth certificate. And then the guy said, you know, those dads are absent and they handle it as if they are dead. Now that's heartbreaking. That is so sad. You know, God didn't create me. God created me to be the king and the judge and the ruler of the house, you know, and the priest and the prophet. God didn't give me the qualities he gave my wife. God intended for us to grow up in a family, you know, where the mother and the father work together to raise a child. And then you can go on and see that about 60% of those mothers, that they were still a daughter in a household as well. And that about only 33% of them had matric, and only 6% have had some tertiary education. Then we see and we have to say to ourselves, we're facing really a grim picture. We're facing in terms of a new generation. We need to say, we need to be honest, and we need to say that things really look bad right now in the world. I believe there's stuff that is really holy and special to God's heart. And I believe this picture about Jesus and the church and about a husband and the wife, I believe it's really being defiled in terms of gay marriages and stuff like that, because it's not what God intended it to be. And it's really becoming a dangerous ground to talking on these things. But we need to always go back to the standard, what God said. So we are really living in a society where the bulk, almost two-thirds of our neighbors in South Africa, where children are raised being without the father's detail even being on their birth certificate. Now, after a few years ministry, I know that gives people a lot of issues. And I want to say, if there's anyone here this morning and maybe you're sitting in a situation like that, God can restore everything. There's a lot of mercy and grace where God can send people across your road who can really be a mentor or be a spiritual father in your life. Now, the thing is, I didn't, unfortunately, I didn't write down the script. I know it's in Isaiah from the New King James Version from Isaiah. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and all his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And people, that's the calling of the church. That is why we are here. God is not, it's not going to help us to criticize and point fingers and do stuff like that. God is raising the standard, and he's raising it through us. One of the words in the Afrikaans service was that, you know, we need to be awake. We need to be sensitive to what God is doing. And at this stage, we really sense that God is enlarging our footprint. But if we don't spend proper time on discipleship and talking about the heart behind it, and as I said, it can be even parenting, you know, we're going to miss out somewhere. If no one ever taught you, you know, if you evangelize and there's someone and that person says, okay, I want to give my life to the Lord, then it's sometimes really inconvenient that says, okay, cool, I'm just going to phone my friend, he's going to pray for you, okay? You need to learn how to do it, and it's our task as the leaders of this house to show generations how to do it, that you can pray for that person yourself. So I want to hold it before us. Where do we stand? Where do we stand in terms of that coming and that going into of making disciples? Are you a young man? A young man? Are you a child? Are you a father? What does God want from you to grow, to become more mature? Because we can always mature more. And then I want to ask you, can your followers or your children do what you are doing? Sometimes you get very gifted leaders, but if you take that leader away, you know, the followers aren't very equipped. And that's not something we want to say. We want to have a family here where we can see in the fruits of the lives and the ministry, you know, that you can lead someone to Christ yourself, that you know how the sinner's prayer work, etc. We had the example, I think I've shared it before in church, where Pastor Nadine Adami from Stellenbosch, you know, she said a son and a few friends, they had a braai at the one person's house. And, you know, only two out of the, say, 15 boys knew how to make a fire. Now, it's not the boys' fault. It's the father's fault. Okay? The fathers need to show that to the children. So we need to really be awake in that area. We need to take our children on missions. We need to spend time with them, and we need to show them about church. We need to pray with them. We need to teach them in the Word about how things work. We had I remember once in our family, we were talking, and you know, I'm not a typical brand type of person that's very into brands and stuff. And the one lady said, "Yes, your one son, he's going to teach you one day a lot about brands." And I said, "No, I'm going to teach him a few things about brands. Because the brand on your shirt or blazer will not determine who you are. It's your character. It's the man on the inside or the lady on the inside, you know. That is what it's going to be." And she was a bit caught off guard, because that's my heart. Yes, the world want to teach our children a lot of worldly stuff. That's how it's wired. But we need to lay that biblical Christian foundation. And I want to end off this morning, and I want to encourage you. Maybe you're raising children. Maybe you're making disciples. And that's not something where the harvest shows instantly. It's many times in a while that you will only, if you see, sow that maize or whatever type of seed, it will only start to grow in a few months' time when the rain comes. And when we make, when we disciple in church, when we raise our children, then it's going to be very much the same. If your seven-year-old daughter shouts at you at home, I promise you, when she's 17, it's going to be worse. It's something that we have to address right now, something that we have to spend on. Can I pray for us?